This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
I'm beginning a new effort to fix as much of our immigration system as I can on my own. I've also directed Secretary Johnson and Attorney General Holder to identify additional actions my administration can take on our own within my existing legal authorities to do what Congress refuses to do and fix as much of our immigration system as we can.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Breaking news. I hate to cut into Paul Watson's time. It's hard to get him to come host the show because he's so busy writing hit articles and being in the top 50 on Twitter. But Laura Limbaugh confronted Hillary about what happened. So she's coming in at the start of the next segment, and we're going to get her on and show that video that I'm told just went on her Twitter. Mike Cernovich was just tweeting me. She was going to be on earlier, but it got delayed, so we're going to have her on tomorrow, but the confrontation happened. Now listen to this next clip out of what happened. How Hillary collapsed in her fake book that now is 50% off everywhere, 40% off on Amazon, and it's already 30% off on Amazon, so that's 70% off. It's already discounted. What happened? No one buys your lies anymore. Go away. Don't go away mad. Just go away, lady. She acts like, though, RT's not powerful, but once they tell Alex what to do, and once they tell Breitbart and Drudge what to do, as if Americans aren't smart and hardworking and don't see her as a crooked swamp dweller. Just because you and other idiots like Maxine Waters say the swamp came from Putin or crooked Hillary came from Putin or, it came from us, dumbass. I don't get stuff from the Russians. I hardly read Russian news. Nothing against the Russians. I don't need the Russians to put my pants on in the morning. She talks about us like we're a bunch of idiots because that's what she thinks you are because her constituents are that. Gosh, I'm sick of these people. Let's play the clip. Here it is.
Part is traditional state-run media. In this case, Russian networks such as RT and Sputnik. They use their global reach to push Kremlin talking points over the airwaves. And social media, including malicious headlines like Clinton.
I wrote most of them. I don't want to brag, but I wrote them. I wrote them. I did. Me.
Frequently use the same Twitter hashtag as Trump. Hashtag Crooked Hillary. It's hard to know exactly how wide of a reach RT has. A Daily Beast article reported on claims that it had exaggerated its stats. It's probably more than you'd think, maybe hundreds of thousands. But not enough that it would have a big impact on an election by itself.
Hit pause again. I happen to know RT stats. They now have double CNN's. This has been in global news. Double CNN's viewership worldwide because everybody hates CNN. RT is on broadcast stations in the UK and Europe. It's tens of millions of viewers per hour globally. But they've been blocked in the U.S. RT Global's big. RT America tiny. Yes, maybe 100,000. Way below CNN. RT America is not successful. RT Global's huge because CNN created a vacuum. So she's acting like they didn't. Just, everything she says is a lie. Let's continue.
By itself. But when RT propaganda gets picked up and repeated by American media outlets such as Fox News, Breitbart, and Alex Jones's InfoWars and posted on Facebook, its reach expands dramatically. That happened frequently during the campaign. Trump and his team also helped amplify Russian stories, giving them an even bigger megaphone.
Really, show us the proof of the amplification of Russian stories. You guys at Aleister Crowley events with the leader admitting she's a devil worshiper and photos of little kids at the events and Jerry Epstein and Wiener and all you creepazoids and Bill Clinton running around And Al Gore, you did this to yourself. You did these things. Not your mythical Russian unicorns and Lucky Charms leprechauns that just gave me a pot of gold. Our will to crush you beat you. Don't try to steal our accomplishments away. The American people kicked your evil ass out, witch. You understand that? Laura Loomer coming up.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
Myco ZX is back in after 5+ months sold out. Talk about next level probiotic. It's the antifungus, anti-yeast, latest technology, 4.8 stars. It's been sold out for months, big waiting list, limited amount because it's so hard to get the compounds and to have it be California standards. Nobody's got something that's good. Save 30% off of Myco ZX and get the gut health support back when you get it with the Biome Defense 50 million live in each pill probiotic. Myco ZX contains 7 of the world's most powerful organic and well-crafted ingredients designed to attack and melt away the membrane of yeast and fungal organisms. Start fighting back against hidden yeast and fungus with Myco ZX at InfoWarsLife.com before it sells out again. 10% off when you choose auto ship. It's kind of embarrassing to get family and crew members on that, you know, have irritable bowel and Crohn's type stuff that didn't exist years ago. Now it's epidemic. But I'm getting ready to have a bunch of folks go ahead and come on air and tell you what it did for them, because regardless, you can't lose your fun in the operation. InfoWarsLife.com, InfoWarsStore.com, or 888-253-3139.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
To stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
So there I was on the platform, you know, feeling like an out-of-body experience, and then his speech, which was a cry from the white nationalist gut.
We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people.
What an opportunity to say, okay, I'm proud of my supporters, but I'm the president of all Americans. That's not what we heard at all.
The oath of office I take today is an oath of allegiance to all Americans.
That was devastating. I didn't think I would lose. The two best politicians I know, my husband and Barack Obama, did not think I would lose.
This is the heart of 1776. You're white male!
It's also what happens when you listen to the radio host, Alex Jones.
Pledge allegiance to
flag.
InfoWars helped fuel the rumor that President Obama is an ISIS supporter.
It's been a cozy relationship from the beginning.
I will not let you down. You will be very, very impressed, I hope. And I think we'll be speaking a lot.
Donald Trump and Alex Jones.
This means that Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States.
Waging war on corruption. It's
Alex Jones.
And Paul Watson is going to be hosting much of this hour. We're going to skip two of the breaks so he gets his time back. Laura Loomer was going to be on 30 minutes ago, but the book signing went late. She was able to confront, I'm told, Hillary. And we're dragging the clips in right now. This just happened 30 minutes ago live. Hillary and Uma Abedin, bombshell article already written by Paul Watson on InfoWars.com. What a crew. Paul's about to go live with us. He hammers out this article. I want to thank Laura Loomer for letting us know that she was planning this yesterday and successfully executing it. What a patriot. We need to hire her to be a reporter. And then we've got Mike Cernovich updating us, at Cernovich on Twitter, at Prison Planet, Paul Watson. I'm at Real Alex Jones. Critical now more than ever. Everybody share our links, share our tweets, share our articles. Hillary confronted during book signing. What happened to Seth Rich? What happened to the 33,000 emails? And Uma Abedin, why didn't you divorce your husband for sexting an underage girl that looks like Ted Cruz? I mean, this is all incredible. We're going to go to Laura Loomer in a moment. What a hero. This lady is, the stuff she's done, so many other exploits, we won't get into them now. Paul Watson, this is exciting to see this type of information warfare.
Well, it's almost like we knew about it in advance, Alex. But the thing about this, and Laura will get into it with you even more, Hillary basically turned up an hour and a half late. She was schmoozing with people at The View. You literally had disabled people, the elderly, melting outside in the boiling hot sun. There were ambulances called. People were collapsing of heat exhaustion and dehydration because Queen Hillary wouldn't even show up on time to see her own supporters. There were tons of people who didn't even get in because they didn't turn up early enough to get the bracelets to meet the goddess. So that's the amount of spite and disregard she has for her own supporters, again underscoring how completely arrogant she is.
Now, there's several videos, several confrontations, and we're going to Laura Loomer. We're pulling them in right now. They're on NewsWars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, InfoWars.com. They've been tweeted at Cernovich, at Prison Planet. That's you, Paul. People need to get this out. Chain reaction, just like Bill Clinton's a rapist. We need to go out and tell her what happened. A, tell her what happened. You're a traitor. You're a globalist. We rejected you. America happened. But also, ask her, what happened with Benghazi? What happened with the emails?
Well, that's exactly what Laura asked her, Alex, and she can tell you about that herself. But also, as you see in the video, as she was being basically dragged out by Secret Service, she also cut her foot reportedly, and she's going to talk about that as well. She got to confront Uma Abedin and asked her, quote, when are you going to divorce your husband for texting underage girls? Uma wasn't happy with that question, and at that point they really started getting aggressive with her, and she was out of the building. But it was a really good confrontation again, underscoring that this is how you do this kind of thing. I mean, she'll tell you, she literally had to wait about 7 or 8 hours with no water, standing up the whole time, just to get this confrontation.
And the media always spins this, that these people are paid. And every time they do it to make fake news real, the alchemy, Laura Loomer's not paid to do this by us, but I'm sending her this video, so powerful, $5,000 for doing this and getting beat up and standing there for all these hours, $5,000 from the war chest. We're not rich here, but the money we get is spent on real journalism, on taking action. And I want to get Laura Loomer officially doing work with us. I know she does with some other outfits, but very, very exciting. Laura Loomer, let's bring you up before we play this powerful video. Again, Laura Loomer, Laura Loomer, at Laura Loomer on Twitter. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Fantastic. So tell us what happened. Describe it for us.
Oh, my God. It was brutal. So I literally have been waiting outside in 100-degree weather without water, without food for 7 hours. I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning to be there at, 7:30, and it was just insane. Hillary decided to show up an hour late because she wanted to go on The View and kept everyone waiting. People were passing out from heat exhaustion. you know, there were people with prosthetic legs who were forced to stand for hours because they wouldn't bring disabled people inside to sit down. And it was honestly the longest I've ever waited to confront a politician in my life. And I've confronted a lot of people. So, you know, I'm there and I'm recording and they say, put your phones away. But, you know, I'm trained to kind of secretly record. I learned a lot about that with my time at Project Veritas. And as I'm walking up, I see Huma in the background. And, you know, I get Hillary at first, and I said, Hillary, the American people would really like to know what happened to your 33,000 emails. And then she kind of giggled and said, well, you're going to have to read the book. And I said, well, what happened in Benghazi? And what happened to the millions of dollars you were supposed to give to, you know, all those poor people in Haiti? And then she, you know, I don't really remember exactly what she said because it was, you know, in the heat of the moment. And then I said, what happened to Seth Rich? And she said, you know, you really shouldn't believe everything you hear on, like, fake news. And at that point, you know, they had recognized me because the same book handlers were there from when I confronted Chelsea Clinton at the same Barnes & Noble a couple months ago. So you would think that these people would be smart enough to recognize me since I did the same thing to Chelsea literally, like, less than 2 months ago. But nobody recognized me, and I was even able to get to Huma. And I just couldn't help but ask her, listen, lady, like, are you going to divorce your husband for sending dick pics to underage girls?
And I have the answer here. Everybody keeps saying, do we sue the tech giants for censoring us? Yes. Do we form our own companies? Yes. Do we boycott them? Yes. Do we have whistleblowers inside? Yes.
Right.
But more importantly, we physically go peacefully everywhere the tech people are, the globalists, the
right.
Republican rhinos, the globalists, the radical jihadis. We go
yeah.
everywhere and confront them with the truth and put it out. And what you did is going super
right.
viral, Laura Loomer. We just want to commend
right.
you and salute you.
Thank
Barnes
you.
And Noble. Tell us, this was Barnes and Noble in New York City. I got to tell you, I've been to many 9/11 memorials.
This is a Barnes & Noble in New York City. And let me just tell you this. A lot of people, I got detained by Secret Service, and they tried to humiliate me, right? They took me out of the building, and they said, what do you do? And I said, I'm a journalist. And then they were like, you're a journalist? And they took my phone, and they were trying to delete the video, but I wouldn't. And the most interesting thing is they said, are you trying to hurt Hillary Clinton? Because they were there because of what Martin Scorsese had said. They said, we're here to protect Mrs. Clinton because somebody threatened to cut a piece of her hair off for $5,000. And they were asking me if I was there to, like, you know, cut her hair.
Sure, they
I'm
were dehumanizing you, even though they know full
yeah.
well you're a peaceful activist. They're the ones
right.
that globalists saying kill the police all day. They have special libtard Secret Service that, you know, the Clintons only have the very worst around them.
Right.
But good Secret Service told us about how she was having convulsions every 45 minutes. We put the
yes,
word out, caught her
that.
In the medical tent last year, and 1 week
yeah.
later, she fell down, didn't she?
Yeah, and you know what's crazy is I asked Hillary, I was like, what happened to your health? And then as I'm getting detained by Secret Service, I said, you know, I read that book by the Secret Service officer who was talking about how she doesn't treat you guys very well. And I just want to say, even though you're detaining me, I respect what you do, and you have a very hard job. And I'm not resisting, and I'm going to totally comply with what you're asking me. Just know that this is my First Amendment right to ask a politician a question. And they said, well, this isn't the right way to go about it. And I said, well, what are you supposed to do when you have a politician who refuses to take questions from the media when they try and go about it in other ways, right? So the thing about citizen journalism is you have to take things into your own hands and, you know, search out the truth for yourself because the deep state and the globalists and, you know, we know the Clintons, they're going to do everything in their power to prevent
sure, they're bullies, and you got to call them on that. I want to go to this video.
Right.
I'm going to turn things over to Paul because I don't want to hog into the hour he's gracious enough
right.
to do here with us. Paul of Prison Planet. But let's go ahead and play this clip here in a moment. But first off, I heard you did get roughed up. Did you cut your foot? Because like you said, this just happened. You haven't
yeah.
even seen this video yet that you uploaded.
I haven't seen it, and I'm sorry I sound so out of breath. I literally have not had anything to drink in like 10 hours, and I'm very dehydrated. I'm shaking. And yeah, I think that when they dragged me out, I must have like cut my foot on some glass because it feels like I have glass splinters in the bottom of my toe.
Sure. Just to be clear, so I've been at many 9/11 memorials. You think Texas is hot? In September, New York is like 100
yeah.
degrees and super, super wet. I mean, the humidity is like 90%.
Right. Oh, yeah, and I'm from Arizona, Alex, so I know what hot is, and I'm telling you, like, the humidity is way worse than the dry heat, so It's been really
I've been
hot.
In Arizona when it's 115. It kind of feels cool. It's like it's like real crisp but hot. But when you're in New York or Houston, it's just as bad. Houston and New York, and when it's humid, it's horrible. Let's go ahead and play this clip. I'm going to turn you and Paul over to the show here. But here is Laura Loomer confronting Uma Abedin and Hillary Clinton just 30, 40 minutes ago.
Well, it's great for you to be here.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me. So the American people would really like to know, what happened to your 33,000 emails? What happened in Benghazi?
Go read the book.
What happened to the millions of dollars that was supposed to go to the people in Haiti?
You know what? I'm so sorry you believe things that are untrue.
What happened to Seth Rich?
Hi. Nice.
What happened to your health, Hillary?
Pause real quick. She's focused, she's professional, she's on target, she gets the questions in, she's not threatening. They begin manhandling her. If you're a radio listener, I'm describing the video, dragging her away. Let's continue.
For you. When are you going to divorce your husband for texting
under age? We're going to step out of here. Thank you.
I don't need a book. I pay for a book.
Step out of here. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay.
Wow, I see Paul Watson over there laughing. This is just amazing, and this is the stuff that scares them, because even in New York, they can barely get a crowd of a couple hundred people. I mean, you can get a crowd anywhere in the world. I can, Laura can, bigger than that. She's got all this Secret Service, all this. There's Abedin creeping around with her pervert husband, convicted pervert, and it's all just falling in on them. It's all falling apart right now in front of her, and her book is 50% off the day it went on sale, a total failure, Paul.
Yeah, that's in London. It's in the article. It's reduced. It's on special offer already because nobody's interested, because she's still on this cashing in on the butthurt whinge tour. Even her own fundraisers, Alex, have come out and said, you know, people who gave a bankroll during the election said, please shut the F up. They literally said that. They said, you're hurting the Democratic Party. Get over it. Take responsibility for how utterly pathetic you were and just go away. That's what everybody's saying to Hillary. She's so arrogant, she will not do it. She's still clinging on to that relevancy, even though everybody decides.
And isn't that indicative and archetypal of all the rest of the deep state losers that are just so arrogant they can't believe the whole world's turning against them?
They just can't understand that they no longer have complete control over everything. The narrative has changed. People don't buy into their crap anymore, but they can't move on. They're still living in a world that doesn't exist anymore.
Do you know what King George III did when George Washington refused kingship and did a treaty with England? He said, George Washington is the greatest man alive in the world. Now, King George III had problems, but he at least was honorable enough to say, George Washington's a better man than me and is the winner. Why, comparing King George, Paul, to somebody like Hillary Clinton.
It's just that sociopathic tendency, Alex, where they just can't even consider. It's like Tony Blair with the Iraq War. Like, he still thinks he's right, you know, 14, 15 years later with the Iraq War. They convince themselves because they're sociopaths. That's what sociopaths are best at doing. And with Hillary,
they believe the lie. That's why they can sell you on one.
Yeah, and it's like her entire book, What Happened? Well, what happened was you screwed over Bernie Sanders, and a ton of his voters didn't vote for you for that very reason. That's a huge part of why you lost. What happened is you were in bed with the media. It got exposed. People were sick of that cronyism. That's why you lost. Neither of those things are in her book. She's a sociopath. She won't face up to reality like all of them.
That's right. Laura Loomer, I'm going to turn you over to Paul, who I just can't. Every day there's so much news I run into when he hosts Tuesday. I've talked Paul into joining David Knight once a week, myself once a week as well, and Owen Schroyer. But, Laura, I want to salute you. Thank you for giving us the big first exclusive on this. So I know Paul's got another guest coming up as well. But, Laura, other comments? Paul, you're in charge.
Yeah, Laura, just go ahead with your final comments. I know you're probably eager to get something to drink and have a rest after waiting for 7-8 hours. Just your final comments, what was going through your mind when you approached Hillary? You were very polite. You said, hello, how you doing? It was a very polite conversation. God forbid you should ask a politician a question, right, Laura?
Yeah, I know, God forbid. And that's why I was so taken aback by what the Secret Service said to me, is because, you know, they were trying to mock me when I said I'm a journalist. They said, you're a journalist? Do you have any proof of that? And I said, yeah, look it up. And then they looked it up and they said, oh, we don't have any proof. And I've been investigating the Clintons for years. I mean, during my time at Project Veritas, I did many investigations which resulted in, you know, a lot of public humiliation and, you know, further investigations for the Clinton family. So, you know, just to be humiliated by their Secret Service agents and told that I'm not a journalist because, you know, I decide to use an iPhone instead of, you know, and I'm not paid millions of dollars a year by some left-wing mainstream.
Laura, it's a game they play. You've been in Veritas. You're all over the place, constantly going and confronting them about the murder Trump play. They just play that mind game. I just laugh at that. You go, yeah, we're the new media. You're who we're trying to shut down because we're winners. I mean, Hillary's book constantly talks about me. I mean, what are they supposed to do?
Yeah. I mean, all I want to say is that she welcomed this all the way. Why would you name your book What Happened? I mean, did she not think people were going to come to her events and ask her what happened? Because seriously, I mean, there's a lot of questions that she didn't answer during the election that people want answers to now. And I'm not going to stop. I mean, I'm going to ask these questions. So, that's all I have to say.
Well, the big goal, Laura, is like with the Bill Clinton's a rapist thing, to cause the chain reaction. Do you agree with me and Paul that that's the key to all the censorship, is to physically get in the streets, but not like some Antifa thing throwing urine on people, to go out and throw truth on people?
Well, look, Alex, I don't know if you remember, but about a month ago when she first announced the name of her book was What Happened, I actually messaged Paul in advance and said this would be a wonderful InfoWars contest to have because, you know, what you could do is you could say, go to her events, you know, go to these book signing events and ask her what happened. And they would just be scared, absolutely shitless, because they would have all these citizen journalists armed with cell phones, and you can't take away everyone's cell phone, and they're going to ask her what happened, and it would just be a nightmare. I mean, you have to put these people on guard and let them know that we're everywhere.
Well, it looks like it just happened, so there you go. Hillary Clinton's going to be... Imagine how much she hates, because they have killed a lot of people. They do have hitmen, and then they kill me.
Yeah, be careful.
If I get killed, look at Hillary Clinton as the main culprit, folks. I just want that said.
Right.
She is a known murdering scumbag, and she's got to be stopped. Sorry, Paul, take over.
Yeah, thanks, Alex. Yeah, I mean, and it's this whole thing that we don't have the right to reply. Number one, you know, who cares if you're a journalist or not? You're an American. You have a First Amendment. You asked a question.
That's what I said.
God forbid. That's the whole point, right? They freak out every time. It's like, all that's going to happen is that you're going to ask a question, then leave. The fact that they freak out every time makes it even worse for them, right?
No, it makes it even worse. And the funniest part was they thought I was working in conspiracy with Martin Scorsese. They were so scared. They said... They asked me, are you on drugs? Are you here to take a lock of Hillary's hair for $5,000? And I was laughing because I knew exactly what they were talking about. But they're so paranoid. I mean, she literally has Secret Service trying to protect her hair because they must really honestly think that somebody is trying to take a lock of her hair. I mean, I would be more worried about people with cell phone cameras trying to expose you for the crook and the liar and the fraud that you are, as opposed to somebody trying to approach you with some scissors and, you know, sell your hair for $5,000.
It's absolutely insane, Laura. You were polite. You asked a few questions. Big deal. The fact that they freaked out about it has made it an even bigger story, so that's more fool them, isn't it? Any
right.
final comments, Laura, then I'll let you get off and get a drink of water.
No. I didn't get my book. They wouldn't let me take my signed copy of Hillary's book, even though I waited for 7 hours. So if somebody wants to get me a signed copy, I would love you forever. I really just want a signed copy of What Happened.
All right. We're going to leave it there, Laura. Amazing confrontation. The article is up on Infowars.com, and the Periscope is also up on your Twitter, Laura Loomer, and we'll be sure to get you back on soon and obviously stay in touch for any fallout from this. But again, amazing confrontation. Laura, thanks.
Thank you.
There goes.
Thank you.
Okay, appreciate it, Laura. There goes Laura Loomer. Amazing confrontation. The article is up on Infowars.com. Hillary confronted during book signing what happened to Seth Rich, because that was one of several questions that were asked of Hillary Clinton, none of which she answers in her actual book. It's just a continuation of cashing in on her Wingefest tour. And again, every month or so, or even greater in regularity, she starts whining and bitching about InfoWars and Alex Jones. And it's like, we have the right to reply. So this is one way in which we're going to reply. After the break, though, we've got an amazing guest coming up, Andrew Tate, kickboxing champion, to talk about the truth about depression. That's coming up after the break. We've also got a ton of news coming later in the show. This is the Alex Jones Show Live, fourth hour. Andrew Tate coming up. Don't go away.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercials. Just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
After being sold out for months, our best-selling Superblue fluoride toothpaste is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. The first shipment of Superblue sold out in 1 week. I thought it would be a six-month supply for listeners. And since then, people are beating down our doors wanting to be able to resupply their Superblue. Research across the board is clear. In fact, it's certified. When bacteria infects your gums, it can enter your bloodstream and even contribute to blood clots and heart attacks. That's why the last Surgeon General's report on oral health warns that your oral health can have a serious impact on your entire body. Superblue fluoride free toothpaste is a groundbreaking new formula. It's loaded with good halogen iodine instead of the bad halogen fluoride. Superblue contains natural oils and ingredients used since biblical times to help wipe out bad bacteria and eliminate bad breath. Just some of the ingredients in Superblue chosen by our dental experts include xylitol, peppermint oil, iodine, nano silver, and more. Learn more about InfoWars Life Superblue toothpaste at InfoWarsLife.com and support the InfoWar while you support healthy gums and teeth.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-774-3149 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-774-3149. Again, that's 800-774-3149.
Live from the InfoWars.com studios, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Paul Joseph Watson.
We're live. It is the fourth hour of The Alex Jones Show. Going to have a great guest on here in a minute, Andrew Tate, to talk about the truth about depression, a subject that certainly gets a lot of people very riled up on Twitter, because they don't want their orthodoxy to be questioned. Well, that's what we're all about here. So we're going to have a rational, civilized discussion about it. I'm going to go to Andrew in a second, but let's go back to this Hillary Clinton thing, because let's not forget that Hillary literally endorsed a website called Verit back, what was it, last week, which literally means to conceal. Oh, but this is the bastion of independent truth. It's for the 68 million or whoever they said it was. It's not a complete echo chamber for everyone who agrees on and believes the same thing anyway, is it? No. And when someone actually challenged this claim on Verit, the beacon of truth for everything, can't be questioned, because they're now actually deleting comments. I think it was a comment by Tim Pool, who is a YouTuber and journalist, who said, because they claimed that there was more right-wing terrorism across the world than Islamic terrorism. Of course, he corrected that and said, actually, that's completely false. They deleted the comment. So don't try and post any truth on Verit. Otherwise, it will be deleted in a hurry. Oh, but that's the bastion of credibility for everybody who already agrees with and believes the same thing as each other anyway. And that's Hillary Clinton's new way of fighting Trumpism. Yeah, good luck with that. We have an article here. Of course, we had the big 9/11 anniversary yesterday. Google's 9/11 tribute is pathetic. And look how they honored a terror sympathizer. So, of course, there was the tribute to 9/11 anniversary yesterday. Google had a pathetic black ribbon on the front page of their website. Of course, normally, to virtue signal, they go all out when it's the anniversary of anything. But when it came to 9/11, they made the least effort possible. The article says, every time there's virtue to be signaled, they pull out all the stops. Google is bound to have pissed off millions with their practically non-existent acknowledgement of the events that occurred on September 11, 2001. So if you took a look at the Google homepage yesterday, it was just a black ribbon, a simple small black ribbon at the bottom of the screen. Not an image of the Twin Towers, the police and firefighters who saved countless lives that day, or even the American flag. God forbid we could have the American flag. And in fact, they honored a Maoist Osama bin Laden supporter more than they did the actual heroes of 9/11. That is Google for you. But we're going to go to our guest now because we have him on the line. He is three-time ISKA kickboxing world champion, son of chess master Emery Tate. He is Andrew Tate, at Cobra Tate on Twitter. And he started a triggering of immense proportions amongst verified liberals on Twitter over the past few days. When he tweeted, this is the tweet, depression isn't real. You feel sad, you move on. You will always be depressed if your life is depressing. Changed it. Change it. And of course, the response to that, when I said I was going to have him on the show today, this is one example. Someone tweeted at me, an unqualified idiot interviews another unqualified idiot. Amazing stuff. They will bond well. Well, apologies, but noted doctor and mental health expert J.K. Rowling was unavailable for interview. So I'm talking with Andrew Tate. And that's what really gets to me. This idea that, oh, you have to be an expert to talk about anything. You have to be an expert, a medical doctor, a psychiatrist, to talk about depression. Oh, but by the way, if you write children's books about wizards, like J.K. Rowling does, you're an anointed expert on absolutely everything, and you're the bastion of credibility. No, we're going to talk about it, even if it triggers you. So let's do it. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. And you made a fantastic point with that argument of authority that, you know, you must be qualified to have an opinion on something. If that was the case, I think every single person who's ever voted would need a doctorate in political science. And of course, that's absolutely not the case. You're allowed to have an informed opinion with or without a doctorate. And as you said, most of the verified liberals who replied to me were absolutely qualified in nothing. So it's ridiculous to even say.
Well, it's like saying that women shouldn't be allowed to vote because they're not informed enough. It's just not an argument. Like J.K. Rowling's a psychiatrist expert. No, we're going to have an opinion on it. You know, deal with it. But anyway, let's get into it, right? Antidepressant usage in America increased 400% in the last two decades. Depression, never been higher in America. Amongst teenagers and young adults, depression has increased 37% since 2005. You know, correlation is not causation, but, I mean, Andrew, whatever we're doing doesn't seem to be working, right?
Well, I think this whole epidemic about depression is basically a misunderstanding of what depression is. People are talking about depression like it's this big external monster, like it's this condition you're going to catch regardless, like the common cold, and it's something that can't be avoided, regardless of how good your life is and how perfect your life is. Is going to strike out of nowhere and you have zero self-control and zero ability to fight against it. And when people believe this rhetoric, when people like J.K. Rowling and these celebrities think that they're destroying the stigma, as they were saying, I was propagating a stigma, all they're doing is telling people you're helpless to control your own mind. You're helpless to defend yourself against any kind of negative thought. And the only answer is to completely succumb and surrender and take these pills. I do not believe depression is the monster people are saying it is. I believe it's a situational phenomenon. If you're in a situation you're unhappy with, If you're in depressing surroundings, you're going to feel depressed. If you decide to be proactive and get healthy and build a business and do good things with your life, you're going to be proud of yourself and you're going to be happy. I think this is fairly obvious. And a lot of the reason that these young people are suffering from depression is because they're lazy or they're dissatisfied with their life. And instead of thinking, oh, I need to do something about this, they buy into the propaganda, which is being splurted out by people like J.K. Rowling. And they think the only answer is to take pills because depression is a horrible monster that struck them out of nowhere. And that's absolutely false. It's not true.
Now, to be clear, Andrew, when we talk about depression, and we are talking about the majority of cases, we're not denying that traumatic events, the grief, for example, PTSD for soldiers who fight in wars, you know, losing a loved one or whatever, specific traumatic events, we're not denying that those things can cause even long-term depression, right? We're talking about something that's related to bad lifestyle choices, not individual traumatic events.
Absolutely. It's perfectly normal for a human being to feel sad or depressed or upset about something or upset about a situation. I'm not saying that. When I said depression wasn't real, I was discussing people's attitude towards depression because people's attitude towards depression is, I've caught depression. It's like Ebola. You know, I was going through my life and everything was fine and I love everything, but I caught depression and now it's impossible for me to be happy. And that is absolutely not true. Everyone has been sad. Everyone has felt depressed. But you have two kinds of people. You have people who accept it's part of being human, accept it's part of life, and push forward. And you have people who succumb to it completely and decide there's nothing they can do about it, and the whole world should feel sorry for them. And when I pointed this out to people, people got extremely violent with their defense. And that's purely because the truth often upsets people it doesn't favor. It doesn't favor people who like to have excuses for their life. And that's why they were so desperate to defend it. If depression is such a horrible monster, and I'm saying there's a way around it, there's a way you can feel better, the fact that they'll come on Twitter and wish my death for trying to tell them they can feel better shows just how desperate they are to have this excuse for their life and their life choices. Depression is absolutely situational, and you have a choice if you're going to succumb to depression or not. It's as simple as that.
Which is why it's kind of ironic where you get accused of being harmful by J.K. Rowling for committing this blasphemy. And that's basically what it is at this point. These people are more militant than vegans when you question veganism. And that's quite a high bar. But the irony behind it is they're the ones telling people there's nothing you can do about it. Succumb to it. Take pills. Yet depression and suicides just keep on increasing. So if anything, they're the ones who are harmful to young generation, especially telling them that they can't do anything about it. But let me throw this one at you, Andrew. If we accept that the majority of cases of depression, which of course most people don't, but that's our position on it. I did a video on this a few months ago. But if we accept that a lot of it is related to bad lifestyle choices, how do we explain people who have had success, who have accomplished things? I'm talking about people like Buzz Aldrin, historical figures like, you know, Winston Churchill complained about having depression, even Abraham Lincoln. You have a ton of sports stars, successful actors, actresses that achieve great success, but then go on to be depressed anyway. How do we explain that if we're saying that depression is about people not achieving life goals and making bad choices?
Well, I think depression is absolutely reactionary to your surroundings. So you can be successful and still be unhappy with certain elements of your life, which can still lead you down a path of depression. But it's very interesting you mentioned Winston Churchill, for example. He said he was depressed, yet still functioned, still led the country in a war, and was successful. He didn't do what a lot of these young people nowadays are doing when they say they're depressed and just refuse to work, pretend they can't get out of bed, pretend it's absolutely impossible for them to go to the gym, while he managed to achieve amazing things whilst citing he had depression than others. And I think one of the main reasons why, especially nowadays in the modern world, these celebrities succumb to depression is because they believe the stigma. They believe the stigma that people are saying I'm propagating is not a harmful stigma. The stigma that is being propagated by people like J.K. Rowling is the harmful stigma. The idea that there is this unbeatable, untreatable, crazy monster that will enter your life and destroy you. If you believe that, you are going to lose. If you externalize any problem in the world, you're going to lose. If you're an alcoholic and you want to say, I have alcoholism, you're in a losing fight. If you believe that this is something that you can't help and it's going to destroy your life while you continue to get up,
that's right,
go to the store, buy alcohol, drink alcohol, and come home and do it on repeat, and you want to pretend it's nothing to do with you.
So it's a white flag. Alex Jones here, Andrew Tate. I'm having my lunch watching you and Paul. I just got to invite you on my main show because I was already aware of your work, but it's amazing hearing you speak with Paul. It's so rational and real. There's a spectrum. A responsibility in life, if you're not doing the right thing, you're going to feel depressed. So that's a motivation for me when I'm not doing enough and not executing the way I know. Then I'll get a little bit bummed out, but that is something to ignite the fury in me to have victory. But beyond that, if you drink a bottle of whiskey, you got a huge headache from inflammation. That causes depression. It goes away once you're hydrated. If you've got heat stroke, it feels like you're depressed. If I get sunburned or hike 20 miles and don't drink enough water and get dehydrated, I feel depressed till I drink enough electrolytes. So there's a lot of things in here, but all the studies show forest bathing, getting outside, that empowers us. Only watching TV, staying indoors, not getting enough sunlight in our eyes, that causes depression. So we ask, why is it all getting worse? This indoor sedentary lifestyle is the main trigger. Then the drugs are admittedly more dangerous than anything out there. And so there's a lot of factors, and Big Pharma has these people like J.K. Rowling's, who has PR folks tweeting for her. That's not J.K. Rowling's, knowing that they're trying to push people into desperateness, just like earlier this year the Facebook documents got leaked by their own executives who had a soul, saying we want to make our users depressed, alone, controlled. We want to isolate them with bots that aren't real friends. I just had to pop in with that. You guys are awesome.
Thank you. And I completely agree with you. I mean, the number one way you stop anybody being concerned with the real issues of this world, the real issues that we discuss on this show, is to make them so concerned and caught up in the fact that someone said a bad word to them once that they're now depressed because of internet bullying. I've just been internet bullied for 3 days straight, and I can guarantee you I'm 0% depressed. So that's it.
In fact, you're empowered. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. They're turning them into permanent basket case victims.
Absolutely, it's crazy. You know, the thing about it, especially when you're talking about the antidepressants, someone tweeted at me, like, what about Robin Williams? And I did some very 10-second research. I saw that Robin Williams saw a psychiatrist for 12 years before he eventually committed suicide. And my understanding is as follows. If he would have walked into that psychiatrist's office and said, I'm depressed, and the psychiatrist said, my friend, you're a millionaire, you're famous, you don't even have to grow old gracefully, you can have 19-year-old girlfriends for the rest of your life. The people in here have real problems. Stop embarrassing yourself. Get out of here. To this day, he'd still be alive. But instead,
that's the point, Andrew. I mean, it's not as if we've pulled this out of thin air, okay? It's called Stoicism. It's a branch of philosophy. This is a real, you know, movement of thought. We haven't just made it up and started making YouTube videos about it. This exists as a branch of philosophy and as a way of treating depression. I want to ask you, Andrew, though, you know, we talked about the stigma. To what extent is society and culture to blame for fetishizing depression? Because now we're told, of course, that it's normal to be emotionally incontinent. You have people on television constantly breaking down in tears. That's basically the foundation of reality television. You know, YouTube is full of these privileged, whiny millennial brats talking about how depressed they are for views. How much has depression become a kind of virtue signaling for narcissists who just want attention?
Narcissist is completely the right word, because the reality of Earth and the reality of life is that everybody is trying to be, to a degree, individual. Everyone is. It doesn't matter if you're chasing money so you can have the car other people can't have. It doesn't matter if you're a kickboxer. It doesn't matter if you're a journalist. It doesn't matter what you do. If you have a healthy, normal human mindset, you're going to want to do something to differentiate yourself. And the easiest cop-out to be different is to wake up and for no reason say, I have bipolar. I have ADHD, I have depression, I have this, I'm special, I'm not like everyone else, I have this. And this is just an absolute cop-out on a desperate bid for individuality. Since I tweeted this, I've had tens of thousands of people inbox me, saying I'm depressed and I have ADHD and I have this and I have that, and naming 25 diseases as if they're some kind of amazing, unique, special snowflake I'm never going to be possible to understand. I understand you're lazy. I understand you're incapable of concentrating on something long enough to give yourself a differentiating factor in life other than just complaining. And that's the world we live in now. And we're supposed to accept this. When I meet someone...
Well, absolutely. I've read the three-volume History of the British Peoples by Churchill, an amazing guy. And I wouldn't even call it really depression. It was more stoic. He was super serious and had such responsibility and was so focused with the weight and the will he had that he was just could feel the pressure and called that depression. But it was really what the Romans called being stoic. All the famous, really badass, serious men were like super focused and really you could call it depressed because they had such a vision that they had to commit that will. But I wouldn't even call it, it's the opposite of being a narcissist. It's like being totally connected. I'm not saying depression's a good thing, but that's just some spectrum name they use.
Yeah, I think, the depression Winston Churchill suffered from allowed him to win World War II. The depression that these millennial brats suffer from prevent them from working at McDonald's because they believe they're entitled to millions for no reason and they want to have a car like everyone else on Instagram and they don't see why they're not instantly happy without any kind of hard work. They're completely different things. To compare the two depressions isn't even accurate in my perspective. When I see these 19-year-olds with nothing wrong with their life saying they're depressed, they genuinely need nothing more than to man up and be told the truth. And that's the absolute
truth. That's the point, Andrew. That's the word, entitlement. Like, no one's entitled to be happy, okay? You earn happiness through hard work and good choices. Your mood can't be independent of the way you live your life. The two not only complement on each other, they're completely dependent on each other. Again, it's this whiny millennial entitled society that just thinks that they can go through life being rewarded without having to put hard work, effort in, and not making bad choices. And we're not saying that that's all depression, that depression doesn't exist if people lose loved ones, if they have PTSD. But that is a huge majority of the cases. And when we come back after the break, I just want to talk briefly about the pharmaceutical aspect of this.
Paul, I'm skipping the break. Paul, when I pop in and take over.
Let's go for it. Let's skip the break. Andrew, let's talk about the pharmaceutical aspect. I mentioned the fact depression in America or antidepressant usage has increased 400% over the past two decades. It's been recharacterized as a pathological disease. It's a lifelong medical condition. That wasn't the case less than 50 years ago. It was seen as temporary unhappiness. Do you think that there could be any kind of motivation, Andrew, for massive pharmaceutical companies to turn this into a pathological disease, therefore creating a profit motive? Do you think that's possible at all?
It's more than possible. And there's two things I want to say on this. And the first thing, which is quite important, is that I believe people like Robin Williams, the reason they killed themselves is because for 12 years, they sat in a psychiatrist's office talking about bad things, every bad thing that's ever happened to them ever, while taking mind-altering drugs daily, messing with their brain chemistry. It doesn't matter how mentally strong you are. They could put me in that scenario and alter my brain chemistry with these drugs and talk about bad things every day for 12 years. I'll feel like killing myself the same. So the reason he eventually did it is not because of depression. It's because of the treatment to depression. The treatment to depression is what's making these things even worse. You know, that's the first point I want to make. And the second point I want to make is it's amazing, like you said, where depression is more commonplace in these rich countries where people can afford these kind of, you know, treatments. It's amazing that this disease or this chronic illness seems to respect country borders. It's the only illness I've never ever found that, of course, if it's not situational, has nothing to do with your situation, it should be universal across the human race. It should be exactly the same on a tiny little island in the Pacific as it is in America. If it's nothing to do with the situation you're living in. So I don't know at what point depression is getting to the customs office and saying, oh, no, I haven't got a visa. I can't go over there. It's ridiculous. The reason people are not depressed over there is because no one buys into this garbage. It's not a real thing. And it's just an externalization that allows them to absolve responsibility from their life. And you said it perfectly, Paul. You said it absolutely perfectly. If depression was something, if your mindset was completely independent to the life you live, why wouldn't we all just catch a case and go to jail? You get free room, free board. You haven't got to work a job. And I should be happy in there just the same. Absolutely not. I'd be a depressed individual because my surroundings are depressing. So it's in these rich countries, exactly as you said.
But it's not your opinion, Andrew or Paul. All the major antidepressants have to put a warning on the label that it causes psychotic breaks, suicide, and megalomania.
There's the proof. This is what they're saying to treat depression. You know, I read something really interesting when someone tweeted at me saying there's zero evidence for my standpoint. Lauren Mosher was the former chief of schizophrenic research at the National Institute of Mental Health. And he concluded after 2 years of study that there is no biological condition of depression, because in 100% of cases, there's nothing actually wrong with the brain. You can't detect anything wrong with the human brain for these depressed people. There's nothing wrong with their brain. There's something wrong with their state of mind and their outlook on life. And that's something that needs to be changed with willpower and understanding.
Instead, the psychiatrist and psychologist hypnotize you into deeper mental illness.
Absolutely. Who wants to sit there and talk about everything bad that's ever happened to them ever while taking mind-altering drugs? I'd be afraid to go down that path. You know, any normal human on earth is going to end up depressed and semi-suicidal after that process. As opposed to me saying how you cure depression is to wake up and take control of your life and build a life you're happy with. And people attack me like I'm the monster. It's really crazy how violently people defend.
Because you're up against a big industry, Andrew and Paul. I'm done. This is riveting, you know, riveting radio and TV. Sorry, Paul, go ahead.
Yeah, it's also because their whole life is invested in this life story, this narrative that they've told themselves for years and years, maybe decades in some cases, that their lack of willpower, their lack of success in their own personal life is due to this outside force, so then they never have to take responsibility for it, Andrew.
Absolutely, and this is the number one goal of a loser. When I said depressives were losers, I obviously weren't talking about military veterans who lost their legs. Of course I wasn't. I was talking about the 19-year-old in their bedroom with nothing wrong with their life. And the number one goal of a loser is to absolve responsibility. I'm fat because of my thyroid. I'm sad because of depression. I drink because of alcoholism. No matter what it is, it's not their fault. And they will do anything to defend their excuse. As long as they can defend their excuse, that's the most important thing for them. They don't want to sit there and go, well, this Andrew Tate guy, he grew up broke and he made something of himself. And I grew up privileged and I made nothing of myself. I must have caught something from the sky. No, they just don't want to accept reality. They don't want to face facts. And this is when I put it out there to them. The reason everyone got so instantly angry was because they knew it was true. If I were to tweet something like I'm the king of the world, no one would care because it's not true. When you say something which is a fact, which is, you know, indisputable, that's the reason everybody got so angry. And that's the reason they were so desperate.
That's the point. They're so militant about it. I've never seen people as militant about any, maybe apart from Islamic terrorists. Maybe they're the only ones more militant if you insult Islam or whatever. But I mean, it's like what you're saying. Like, when I was 17, I was a bit depressed because I was a bit of a loser who didn't have anything going on in my life. As soon as I found what I wanted to do with my life, I was the most happiest I'd ever been. Again, we're not saying that's the case for everyone, but that's the general trend. I want to throw you another one, Andrew, just the final minute here. So, of course, men are five times more likely to commit suicide. Given society's, you know, increased pressure on men to succeed, does that validate your point that depression is caused by a lack of achievement? Or is it more to do with the fact that women, you know, find it easier to get emotional support for depression?
That's a really, really interesting question. And my answer on that is that I genuinely believe if you ask a lot of these people who are depressed, why they're depressed, the word lonely often pops up. And I don't believe a woman can ever be lonely the way a man is. I know very low quality, very ugly, very stupid females who still manage to go to the nightclub and not go home alone. If you're a man of a particular standing, if you're a man without any particular merits, if you're a man without any money, without any intelligence, you're not particularly good looking, there's a degree of loneliness that you're going to suffer that a woman's never going to suffer. That does not make depression real. That makes loneliness real. And that means that humans have evolved biologically to seek a mate, and you're unhappy that you don't have a girlfriend. That's fine. That does not prove depression is real under any circumstance. That proves loneliness is real. And that's the reason I believe that men suffer from it more than women, because men can, you know, suffer loneliness like a woman really never can. I don't believe there's very many women out there who could ever be as genuinely as lonely as some of these men are. And that's my point of view on that.
All right, Andrew, we've got about 30 seconds left. Tell people where they can find you on Twitter and your website.
My website just shows me fighting. It's TateShinkai.net. I'm semi-retired now, but I might be coming back. And I'm on Twitter at Cobra Tate. I really am surprised by the backlash on this depression thing, but I mean everything I said. The only message I have is to the people who said I was saying this for attention. I want you to understand. I mean every single word I said. And I'm speaking the truth. And you have the choice to agree with me and be a winner in life, or you can make excuses and lose. It's completely up to you.
All right, we really appreciate you joining us today, Andrew, and I'm sure the reaction will be triggered, to say the least. Andrew, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, friend.
There goes Andrew Tate, world champion kickboxer, and that is what they're not telling you about depression. Again, very controversial subject, but at least we can talk about it. We can have a rational conversation without going insane. That's going to wrap it up for the show, InfoWars.com.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
As most of you are.